know, in Peter's own way, he was trying to do a good thing. He was trying to protect what he thought the Lord from this death. Because he didn't truly and fully understand what this death was going to mean to him and everybody else. So he, from his own perspective, his own way of thinking, thought and was trying to do a good thing. But he was called Satan for his effort. He was called Satan for his effort. That ought to let us know something. That it does not matter. It does not matter how good we think a thing is. It does not matter how fervently we think it is, or how much time we put in it, how much effort we put in it. It does not matter. If it's contrary to the will of God, then it's Satanist. No matter what it is, no matter who says it, no matter where it comes from, if it's contrary to the will of God, it's Satanist. So we have to always be concerned with what our beliefs are, what we believe in. Because as the scripture tells us in Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the only faith that we can ever have that will please God has to come from his word. If we can't find it in his word, no matter how we dress it up, no matter how we ice it over, it's not going to please God. No matter how many people says it, no matter how many people are following it, it's not going to please God. Our faith comes from God's word. Comes from what God has said. Nothing we can make up. Nothing we can, no matter how we get it. If it's contrary to the will of God, then it stands on the other side of God. No matter how, no matter who, and no matter what. It stands on the other side of God. Peter was always trying to do the right thing, but he stepped out of his bound. And it doesn't matter how we step out, we're still out. We're still out. Jesus lays down the laws of discipleship, when he said in Matthew 16 and verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He said, if any man will come after me, and that gives us this voluntary. If any man will come after me, you're not going to be forced to come after Christ. He's not going to twist your arm behind your back. He's not going to threaten you. He's not going to do anything forcefully on your behalf. He said, if any man will come after him, that's voluntary, no forcing. If any man will voluntarily come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. This part of the verse carries the idea of first things first. If any man would come after me, let him first deny himself. Let him first deny himself. That's not a small order. That's not something so simple for us to do. Let him first deny himself. You see, I have no problem telling you what you need to do to get yourself right with God. I don't have no problem with that. I don't have no problem finding scripture that helps you get in line with the word of God. You know, I don't have no problem with that. I can do that easily. You know, I can sit down with you and we can sit there for as long as it takes and we can thumb through the Bible and search through the scripture and find that scripture that's going to set you in order. I don't have no problem with that. Giving scripture, giving direction to other people's lives is not a problem for any of us. We're willing to do that. But when it comes down to me, I'm not so easy, you know, to sit there and listen to you tell me what I need to do to get my life in order. It's not such an easy thing. You know, some of the things that I was warning you about and instructing you on, I kind of let them slide a little bit. I kind of let them slip by. You know, I don't put as much weight on them as I did when I was talking to you about it. You know, we will overlook some things when it comes down to us that we wouldn't overlook when we're talking to you. We'll make those things that we made look so big and so out of line with you look so small when it comes down to us. Because the worst person for me is me. The hardest thing for me to do is to deny myself. And Jesus says that's the first thing that I must do. The first thing that I must do is deny myself. Lean not to my own knowledge, my own understanding of things. You see, in all fairness, I think I'm a pretty okay guy when it comes down to, you know, when you think about it, you think you're pretty up with it. You know, so I be thinking to myself, you know, I'm kind of up to date. And I think I kind of got a little understanding about a few things. So when you talk to me, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, from my perspective, you know. Yeah, trying to see where you go with it. But one of the hardest things for me to do is just sit back and just let you teach me. Let you have the flow. Let somebody else be the instructor and lay down the understanding that we're trying to get. You know, I want to step up and put my two cents in. You know, but Christ tell me to deny myself first. So I got to try to learn, and we got to learn to say no to ourselves. You know, we can say no so quick when somebody come to us and nope. No. We can say it easily. But when it comes down to saying it to myself, it'll be all right this time. Go ahead. You know, it may not be that bad. But you're not going to go that far with it. You know, I start making excuses and pushing things back and making things so that I can slide right by them and stuff. But Jesus said the first thing that we need to do is learn how to deny ourselves. Self-denial is a hard thing to do, a hard lesson to learn, because it goes against everything that we are about. We must deny ourselves absolutely. No man does more harm to himself than himself. No man does no more harm to himself than himself. In denying ourselves, we must strip ourselves all the way down to the bare bone. We must give way to thinking about someone else's feeling. Think about someone else's well-being, someone else's desire. Get get away from our own selves sometimes. Have you ever just tried for just a day? Forget about the day, for a few minutes. Just to totally rid yourself of any concern for yourself. And just totally focus on somebody else and somebody else's problems and stuff. Have you ever just tried to just separate yourself from yourself? Just to see what it feels like to be concerned about someone else for a change. It's hard. It's hard to do. But Christ says, first, we must learn to deny ourselves, and it's not an option. It's something that we have to learn how to do. Deny ourselves. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul was willing to strip himself of everything. All the things that he had dealt with, all the things that he had gone through, all the things that he had accomplished, all the things that God allowed him to see. Paul was willing to just put all of that aside. Put all of that aside that he may win Christ. That he may win Christ. That none of that stuff mattered anymore. The only thing that mattered to him was to follow Christ. He was willing to forfeit it all for Christ. He was willing to substitute everything with following Christ. We must stop depending on ourselves and start depending on Christ. Self is the cause of most of our miseries because we are selfish. But then he went on to say, take up your cross. Take up your cross. When he said, take up your cross, he was not talking about a wooden cross. Everybody in this room tonight has their own unique cross. Your cross is that thing that God allowed to stand up in your life that will work on your will, that will work against your flesh, that will work on your pride. Your cross may be your husband who does not appreciate you, keeps comparing you to someone else. You was more like this or more like that, and you lay there in bed at night and just cry because your will is being killed. That's a cross. That's a cross that you have to bear. Your cross may be your child that you poured everything into, and they grew up and broke your heart. You had so much hope and so much pride that they were going to be everything that you wanted them to be. Somehow, they turned out otherwise. But this is your child. You raised them. You took care of them. You taught taught them. You brought them to church. You were a good parent. You were a good role model for them. But still, they turned out and disappointed you. That may be your cross that you have to bear. Your cross may not be like my cross, and my cross may not be like your cross. But whatever your cross is, we have to bear it. Whatever God allows to be your cross, guess what? The devil is going to take that same cross that God allows you to have and turn it upside down. You see, God allows these things in our lives to help us, to produce better faith, to make a better person out of us. But the devil comes along and take that same cross and says to us, you're better than that. Are you going to stay there and allow him to continue to treat you like that? I would leave him. You deserve better than that. See, the devil wants us to come down off our cross. But if Christ had come down off of his cross before the mission was completed, we all probably now would be spending our eternity in hell, because there'd be no use. There'd be no way, no hope of salvation. Whatever our cross is, we have to bear. Whatever God allows to come into our lives, we have to bear. And it could be anything. There are a whole host of, there are a world of things that it could be. But whatever it is, we got to bear our cross if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to have that hope of eternal life. You can't let the devil talk you out of your cross. One last scripture for tonight. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 4. So these are they which were not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were the redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. These are they which follow God, who are determined to go the long haul, to stay on the course, to do whatever it takes to follow the Lord. If we're going to be disciples of Christ, if we're going to have that hope of eternal life, if we're going to make our calling and election sure, we got to stay in the fight. We can't let anything deter us from our fight, from our journey. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be some things that we have to deal with that we just don't know how we're going to get through it. There are going to be some things that come into our lives that we have to deal with that is just so pressing upon us that it could even cause our whole family to be disrupted. God never promised us a rose garden, but he did promise us a crown in heaven if we stay the course. Because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And in so passing, we're going to encounter some things. We're going to encounter some things. It's going to be hard to swallow. It's going to be hard to deal with. But if we stick with God, as we said this morning, God got this. God got this. So tonight, if you're here and you need to become a child of God, you hear his word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then be willing to go down into the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. That's how you become a child of God. And then Revelation 2:10 says, live faithfully unto death. Unto death. As we said earlier, the only two choices that we have is faithfulness or unfaithfulness. God has done it all. If you are a child of God, but you've fallen by the wayside, come back home tonight. Repent of that thing. Pray to God, ask him for forgiveness, and that he may place you right back in your spot. Whatever your need is tonight, God is willing and ready to answer your prayer. So whatever your need is, as we all together stand tonight and sing the invitation song, we want you to make your request known unto God.